Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show.
Episode 351 of the Roguecast, recorded October 12th, 2021. Dave's not here, man.
All right, well, we had planned not to do a podcast this week.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Because Dave is not around, and we thought maybe that it would be just good to skip. But then, like, everybody put out a bunch of news.
Yeah, there was so much news.
And
we didn't kill Dave. He's just on vacation.
He's on vacation, which is exactly what we'd say if we killed him.
That's true.
And we wanted to throw the cops off our trail.
That's true. We have to form alibis
but
and all that
he's really on vacation. Yeah. Not murdered and stuffed in a dump somewhere.
If you knew his social media stuff,
yeah.
You would see him post things.
Yes, if you're on Facebook, you can see him posting, which is definitely Dave posting, and not a ringer that we sent out there to take pictures in San Francisco to distract from the
Correct.
Fact that we killed Dave and stuffed him in a dump somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah. next week, though, we probably won't have a podcast, but we might
do this. Who knows?
We'll see. Anyway, lots of news this week, and so we figured that some of it pretty big.
Well, we realized that if we didn't do a podcast today, our news would be like triple the size because of DC fandom hitting this weekend.
Yeah, we would never get to all of
it. No, we would not.
So let's start with, I don't know what's arguably the biggest one. There's three big comic stories. I'm just going to go with one that's on top of the list, and that is Jonathan Kent, a.k.a. Superman, son of Kal-El, is going to come out as bi in the either next issue or issue 5 of the Superman series.
This broke the internet a little bit.
It did. I was happy to see, and maybe it's just because the fan feed, the people that I know, I didn't see any pushback on
it. No, I didn't either. That is probably because we surround ourselves with people who are
not
like-minded and not jerks.
but yeah, this is pretty big. I had, I don't know if we said it on the podcast, but I definitely sort of noted that in issue 3 that he was like, they were spending a lot of time on this character that he was bringing home.
I saw that Dave said you called it, and I was like, it didn't even dawn on me. I knew that, you know.
I had wondered, it didn't seem like the kind of thing they would actually put the balls to do, but I was like, this is interesting, because this feels like a really close relationship really quickly. Like, it felt like more than just like, hey, here's a new supporting character we're introducing.
Yeah.
And we now know that that's going to be his first boyfriend.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
I'm excited that Tom Taylor is the one tackling this.
Yep. And the reason they announced it way ahead of the actual issue coming out is because they know this kind of stuff doesn't stay under wraps.
Right.
And they want to do it on coming out day.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yep.
So a lot of people, I've seen some of my queer friends saying, no, wrong Superman, because they've all wanted, they want Tim
Connor.
And Connor to be in a relationship.
Right.
And now Tim is bi, but Connor's not. And
I'm just waiting for the inevitable scene of Damian having some words with this kid.
Right, yeah.
Because that relationship's...
yeah, but it was... I've been loving Son of Kal-El.
Oh,
and
yeah.
DC having the balls to make their main Superman gay or bi is huge.
Yeah.
So
I think it's great.
Really, yeah, it's a good thing. And also, like I say, it's being written by one of their best writers, so that's fantastic.
I honestly think we can rightly say that Tom Taylor is DC's best writer.
Oh, for sure.
There are no ifs, ands, or buts. I love Grant Morrison, and I love what he does.
Yeah.
But Tom Taylor, he is the best DC writer.
Yeah. Then they announced that Saga is coming back. It will be returning with issue number 55, a double-sized issue in January for the second half. So which means maybe 55 more issues?
Maybe so.
50, maybe 45? I don't know, but... yeah, they're going to do the rest of it, which I think we'd all gotten a little skeptical about, because they've been on hiatus for years.
I hope they've enjoyed their two-year breather.
Yes. Yeah, so that's great. So Saga will return. Looks like there's a bit of a time jump going on.
Yeah. I had still never finished. I guess I could have ridden this two-year gap.
Nick, you had time.
I did have time.
Did you get spoiled on the big thing?
I did, and so, I kind of killed my momentum a little bit.
That's your fault.
It's my fault for working in a comic book store and surrounded by people who are enjoying it
I managed to go till the trade or till the hardcover came out.
Oh, that's impressive.
Because it was one of those things where I'd gotten spoiled. It was my fault. I knew there was something big.
Yeah.
But I didn't know until I read the hardcover what it was. So yeah.
I mean, I'm excited. I think this is one of the people who shop here. This is one of their more beloved books. So I'm glad it's coming out. A lot of people love this book, so yay more Saga.
And then the other thing, which I, this may not be as big for everybody else, but for us was pretty notable, Astro City, Kurt Busiek is bringing all his creator-owned stuff back to Image in 2022. So he is going to do all of Astro City is going to come back in print. Aerosmith, his fantasy war comic with Carlos Pacheco.
Which only saw, if I'm remembering correctly, one volume.
One volume.
And it was amazing, and I loved it.
Autumnlands with Benjamin Dewey and Jordy Belair is going to get. And then he's doing a new thing called The Gods on Sunday Morning with the Astro City creative team. And Free Agents, co-written by Fabian Nestiez with art by Stephen Mooney. So they're also going to bring back Shock Rockets, Superstar, Wizard's Tale, all the stuff that he did for Guerrilla Comics.
Yeah.
Now, he's not doing new stuff in all of this, but there is going to be new Aerosmith, new Autumnlands, and new Astro City.
Which is great. I'm actually just going to be super happy that all of it will be in print, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can start recommending it again, because this is something that's easy to recommend, and it's just great stuff.
Yeah, I've been kind of sad that Astro City's been so hard to get people, because it's a really good book, and they had talked about bringing it back as a series of graphic novels, so we don't know if that's the case.
Yeah. But
Aerosmith will be back in January, about the same time as Saga.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, very exciting to see some comic stuff that we thought had been gone. So, that's three big comics things.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of other stuff that is not necessarily comics, but comics related. Stuff like they cast Adam Warlock.
Yes. I'm blanking on his name.
Will Poulter.
Will Poulter, who was in
I know as the kid in We Are the Millers.
We Are the Millers. Didn't he also in the Black Mirror, the Choose Your Own Adventure Black Mirror? Wasn't he the?
Oh, he might have been
the kind of crazy benefactor kind.
He might have been. He's a younger guy.
Yeah,
or I think it was. It's an interesting take for Adam Warlock.
Yeah, it is.
I'll be interested to see this, but that's cool. They've actually cast him.
Yeah,
there have been rumors about that. They hinted at the end of Guardians 2, but Adam Warlock has a. It had a very Thanos-centric story in the comics, so I'll be curious to see what they do with him now.
They'll do some play on the Magus stuff,
maybe
I would imagine.
Maybe so.
Maybe we'll get the Church of the Universal Truth.
Oh, that'd be awesome. WandaVision spinoff is in development, starring Catherine Hahn.
Give it to me now.
They're going to do... I don't know if it's going to be like History of Magic kind of thing, or...
I mean, now that you say that, that seems like the obvious route that it could take.
Yeah.
Just because... That would be fun to see, in a non-Doctor Strange centered kind of
right about the witches. And
yeah,
because she's been around since witches' times.
Exactly. So that would be a lot of fun. I think it's just exciting to get more Catherine Hahn.
Yeah,
because she's great.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about that too. So,
and hopefully this mini show can pop up in a couple of other places here and there.
Well, I mean, she's memoryless, right? That's where we left her. So yeah. Who knows what they'll do with her. Kiernan Shipka's Sabrina is going to cross over with Riverdale. So, Until You Finish Sabrina on Netflix is over.
Yes.
But there's no saying they can't bring that character over to Riverdale, and so they're gonna.
I'm fine with that. She's great as Sabrina, and is it Robert Aguirre Sacasa? Doesn't he showrun Riverdale as well?
He does, yes.
So, I mean, it makes obvious
sense. It's basically
sense.
It's the same character, it's the same writer in a lot of ways, so yeah, that's pretty cool. Riverdale's weirder than Sabrina in some ways.
Yeah, didn't they do in like the second season like the Punisher
kind of Black Hood and the crazy vigilante thing? Yeah.
But this is the one thing that would make me probably go back to it because I haven't watched it in forever. But
yeah.
I love Sabrina and I love Karen Shipka's Sabrina, so
yeah.
It'll make me rewatch it.
There were a handful of trailers we watched. We watched the one for Blade Runner Black Lotus, which is the anime original on Crunchyroll.
Yes.
And it's co-produced by Adult Swim. I think, Nick, you're not a like big believer in Blade Runner at this point.
I mean, I like it. I just
did
don't
you
know.
Like 2049?
I did. Okay. I was the one, I don't know, I think I liked it the most out of us.
Okay, I liked it, but I haven't gone back to it. And Dave, of course, I don't think has seen it.
I think it's very pretty. I honestly think it's one of Denis Villeneuve, his best.
I agree.
But I saw the first trailer for this Crunchyroll anime, and it was very, like, action-centric. Didn't feel very Blade Runner to me.
Yeah.
It felt kind of just like a random replicant on the run.
Okay.
Which is kind of it was a little boring.
Yeah.
This one feels more Blade Runner.
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually, it's not actually Vangelis, but it's got that Vangelis style music.
And it had a lot of like the you know, the big neon signs.
Yeah.
And
it feels like Blade Runner.
Yeah, it felt like the world.
We got the Void Camp test shows up.
Yep. So it's got more trappings. We'll see. it's...
Yeah, the other thing is, as much as I like 2049, I like the comics that I've read.
Yeah.
But I don't honestly want new stories in this world.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not jonesing for more Blade Runner.
No,
If it shows up somewhere I can watch it, I'll watch it. But I don't have Crunchyroll, right. And Adult Swim's a pain in the butt to find anything. I have to watch the latest season of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I haven't watched
so,
it. I usually have to wait for that to get put on Hulu or HBO Max.
Yeah, same. So
maybe this will get put on HBO Max in a year.
Yeah, if they put this somewhere I can watch it, I'll watch it. But I'm not, like, jonesing for it. The Legend of Vox Machina is an animated series starting in February on Amazon Prime. It's the Critical Role stuff. And that they put out a trailer for it that is like the, not the trailer, but it is
the opening credit sequence.
And it's funny, Nick, we've always talked about how they should do a D&D cartoon.
Yeah.
This looks like the D&D cartoon.
Yeah. I don't listen to Critical Role.
Me neither.
I have read one of the volumes of the comics that they've done, and it's solid. But I want a D&D cartoon. So I'll probably really flock to this when they release it, because the animation style is great.
Yeah.
It's very kind of expressive, very energetic action. Got some blood in there as well.
Yep. Well, apparently they at whatever convention they showed this at, which I don't know where it was, the footage or the rating they did of the show.
Yeah.
Was with the cast, and it was a beer-soaked tavern brawl. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That's about right.
Didn't they announce this on their Kickstarter?
I think they did.
And that's what they did. And they were like, we need to get this amount to do, like, 6 episodes, and they got, like,
instead quadruple. It's 24.
Yeah.
10 episodes first season, 14 episodes second season.
And are they voicing their own characters, I would assume?
Yeah, looks like they are.
And Matt Mercer is doing some version of the... DM.
Yeah.
Somehow. I don't know.
I mean, they may do a straight up, D&D type thing where the Dungeon Master's actually there,
right.
Guides them and that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting.
I'm more excited for this than I think I thought I would.
Honestly, I just wanted it. And the animation looks great.
It does.
It looks. And do you remember way back when they did a live action one? Like a live action intro of all the characters, like all the voice actors?
Yeah, I remember.
And it was
that.
Really cool.
It was.
And I'm like, these guys love D&D. And you can tell.
Yeah. I honestly think the cartoon is the way to go.
I have
huge trepidation with a D&D movie, which they're...
Well, yeah,
is
we'll
coming.
See what happens.
We'll see what happens.
See what happens.
But we'll have this. And honestly, I think this is going to be a huge get for Amazon.
Yeah.
Who, next year is fantasy for Amazon, isn't it? It's like Lord of the Rings, this, and...
Wheel of Time.
Yep. They're like...
Yeah.
Going all in. It's
well,
crazy.
And HBO's going to do their new Game of Thrones spinoff, right?
So yeah.
Fantasy's making a big comeback
Lots
next year.
Lots of fantasy next year.
And also Aerosmith and comics, which is also fantasy.
That is. But that's cool fantasy.
Yes. The other trailer was the Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, which is a reboot of Resident Evil.
Yes.
And it looks much more similar to the video game stuff. Like,
I don't know if it has, like, what, is it Jill Valentine and Chris whatever?
But no, her name is Claire. She's
Claire.
The other.
Right.
But she's one of the main characters I know.
But there was a lot of, like, harking back to, like, the original video game, mm-hmm. and I don't know. The music selection was fun. I forgot the song name, but...
Yeah, but it was good.
It was a good choice. I thought the effects looked good. The creatures... Other than just the typical, like, zombies.
Yeah.
Looked really cool.
Yeah.
Zombie dog.
I have a fair amount of skepticism when it comes to video game movies, especially Resident Evil, which has had numerous pretty bad movies.
I think it had 6.
Yeah.
But
this looked pretty good. So, if it's good, I will see it when it comes on video.
Yeah.
I'll streaming.
I will wait for streaming.
but it actually is a pretty solid trailer. Speaking of horror things getting reboots, they're doing a Hellraiser reboot, and they cast trans actress Jamie Clayton from
Sense8
as the new Pinhead.
Which is
interesting, I love her.
I know, I don't remember this, but I know Anna said, like, the original Pinhead was female and, like, the actual Clive Barker novel.
Oh, really?
So
I didn't remember this at all.
I didn't know that either, because I just remember the original Hellraiser and giving me terrible nightmares.
Yeah.
But, I'm excited for this. I think that's a great casting.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Clive Barker had a very vivid imagination of terror. Yeah. Most of his stuff did a good job of leaving a lasting impression. I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for as much as people like the Hellraiser movies, they are a little cheesy because they were made in that 90s time period, right? 80s, 90s?
Yeah, if they can capture a little bit of that, but kind of elevate it slightly.
Yeah.
I forget who's... Is this a sci-fi thing?
I forget who's doing it. I don't actually know.
Because I know sci-fi just launched the Chucky TV series.
Yeah.
And I'd heard good things about it. I didn't set it up to record, so I'm not 100% sure. But I'll give this a shot. I think that's superb casting.
Yeah. Mike Flanagan has set his next series at Netflix. He is doing The Fall of the House of Usher, inspired by Edgar Allan Poe. And someone pointed out that basically all of his stuff has been sort of inspired by different classical authors, like Shirley Jackson, obviously, for Hill House. But also that the Blind Manor was a reference to another author who I didn't know.
Right.
And Midnight Mass is a reference. Like, it's all... I mean, we know we love Stephen King. Like, he is clearly a book horror guy doing TV and movies, and I think that's why his stuff stands out so much.
I agree. He's taking cues from some great authors and putting his own spin on it, and I think that's fantastic.
But Fall of the House of Usher is it's a short story from Edgar Allan Poe. It's going to be... we don't know when. It's, he's doing Midnight Club as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Midnight Club is coming first. Yeah. And I bet we see that mid next year and then this somewhere in around Halloween, maybe?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So next year is going to be another big Mike Flanagan. Yeah. I guess he's become the king of television at this point.
I'm good with it.
I'm fine with it, too.
Then we've got Steve Carell. In a new show from the guys who do The Americans, Joel and... I forget their names. Joel Fields and Joe Weisberg.
Yeah.
So Carell is playing a psychiatrist who is captured by a serial killer and unable to escape and works to help the man suppress his murderous impulses. So this is called The Patient.
The Patient. I thought it was an interesting concept. I like Steve Carell. I think he is one of those actors that has a lot of range and he doesn't get enough credit for it.
Yeah.
Deciding to do sort of a serial killer thriller, I think is a good swerve for him.
I mean,
he's doing right now, he's doing The Morning Show, and he's good in that, solid, but he's playing kind of the character we've seen before.
Yeah.
I like the swerve. I never finished The Americans.
I also did not finish that. I've got one season left. I need to go through and finish it.
But what I've seen, and I think I've seen the first two, maybe... three seasons?
Yes. Yeah, it's really good.
It's a very good show, and people should give it a shot if
they haven't. I should finish it before spoilers come out. I've managed to not know what the ending is. So.
But those creators have enough of a pedigree that I'm going to check this out, and I like the idea of a psychiatrist being kind of abducted and having to work with this guy. It's an interesting idea.
And then the weirder one is that there is Netflix is going to do a That 90s Show, which is a follow-up to That 70s Show, and it's going to focus on Kurtwood Smith and Deborah Jo Rupp, who played the mom and dad, as the, grandparents. And it's the story of Leia Forman, the daughter of Eric and Donna, visiting her grandparents for the summer and bonding with a new generation of Point Place kids. So it's basically going to be, they're the grandparents, and it's going to be, I don't even know if Topher Grace and Laura Prepon or any of those people are going to be in it.
Interesting.
There's expectations that they might make guest appearances. A couple of them might be on trial for, sexual assault.
Yep.
I believe the guy who played Wilmer Valderrama, I think, had some difficulties.
And I believe so.
Yeah, so probably not everybody. Kutcher.
I can see Topher Ashton Grace, Kutcher coming.
Laura Prepon, maybe. But they don't need him. I mean, basically, it says it's going to be a riff on the 70s show. It just takes place in the 90s. And it's going to be Red being his irascible self.
Yep.
And Kitty being delightful.
Yeah.
And these kids having them as their grandparents, which sounds super fun.
Somehow we've, circled these... gone back on... We're seeing, Wonder Years. We're seeing That 70s Show.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting that cyclical nature. We're seeing the turnaround of these. Yeah. Which I'm fine with. I like kind of rehashing some nostalgia.
I had forgotten. I remembered. You remember the 80s show, right? That 80s show?
No.
It ran for half a season. It was set in 1984. I had forgotten. It starred Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny. And it was, I actually really liked the first few episodes of it. Apparently it was revealed at some point that Eric Foreman and Corey Howard, the two leads, were first cousins.
Oh. So I completely blocked this out or never even heard of it.
It was not super successful. So that 90s show probably will not make huge reference to it.
I would hope not.
But it's interesting because, like, we're seeing a lot of these things getting reboots and revisits. And,
yeah.
I mean, Night Court, we talked about previously. I will probably watch this. I didn't watch all of that 70s show.
No, I didn't either. But, I mean, I watched enough of it. And
yeah.
I love the actor who plays Red.
He's
from great. RoboCop.
From RoboCop, yeah.
That's where he made his mark on it in my brain. Yeah. So I'm always good with it.
All right. I think that is all the news. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about comics for the week. We're taking comics for the week of Wednesday, October 13th, and this is another week where we're getting comics from three different people now.
Yeah.
So again, hopefully for y'all, this is pretty much invisible. For us, it's a living nightmare, and it just keeps getting worse. It is really hard getting comics right now, and
I'm laughing to mask the pain.
Yeah. Also, I'm sure y'all have heard about the various shipping difficulties, printing shortages, paper shortages, all this kind of stuff. So. Know that we are working as hard as we can behind the scenes to make sure you get all your comics, but that if you want to help us out, pre-ordering your comics really helps, especially if you want specific covers. Yeah. Like, you got to let us know like a month in advance, because there's no guarantee we're going to have all those covers.
Also, setting up a sub is definitely helpful.
Yes, subscribers,
as well.
We love our subscribers, especially the ones who come in every week.
Yep.
Subscribers who set it up and they never come back, that's the worst thing you can do.
That's true.
I don't think anybody listening to this podcast would do that, because you're all good people.
Exactly.
We know that. We can tell over the internets. Okay, so this week there are several jumping on points, but I think the one that Nick and I both want to mention is the Amazing Spider-Man 76, which is the next part of the weekly Amazing Spider-Man they've been doing.
So I thought it was weekly, but in the back it says you have to wait 2 weeks for the next episode.
Oh, okay.
So
all right. So
I'm not 100% sure. Because it starts up basically,
it's mostly weekly, though.
I think it is. Regardless of that.
So the big thing, if you haven't read it, and the 75 has some notable things. We tried to steer around last week. It's been a week, so a little bit of spoiler warning now.
Yeah.
But the big thing is that Ben Reilly is back, and he is being backed by this Beyond Corporation.
Exactly.
Which was, isn't that the one that Max whatever did in Dan Slott?
I thought so.
And it seems like they've gone a different direction.
Like somebody bought that out.
Yeah.
And is kind of using it. And they own
Spider-Man. They own the rights to Spider-Man, basically, because Peter had it through his corporation. They bought Parker Corporation.
Exactly. And they own the trademark for Spider-Man. So technically Spider-Man cannot be called Spider-Man.
Right. So they hired Ben Reilly to be Spider-Man.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And in the last issue, they fight the UFOs, mm-hmm. which is, Hulk villains that
also
I...
Also ran Hulk villains, yes.
Yeah, that are interesting and rarely used.
Well, they're like an evil Fantastic Four to some degree, but, like, their human torch is radiation-based.
Yep.
And so there's a radiation thing, and Ben has this sort of high-tech suit that he gets from Beyond. Peter doesn't, so Peter got exposed to a bunch of radiation. He's in the hospital. Aunt May and Mary Jane show up. And
there's just some cool stuff in here.
There's some cool stuff, and Ben is sort of dealing with these. He's like, I don't know if I can do this. And there's sort of a passing of the torch that goes on,
yep.
and
also
I don't
some
know.
Fun supporting characters
oh,
show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going with this, but I'm actually really digging this story so far.
There's a scene with Aunt May that I'm like, this is the Aunt May that I love.
Zeb Wells writes a really good Aunt May. The only gripe I have, and I know this is not his fault, but I liked Aunt May knowing his identity, and I hate that she doesn't know it again.
I know.
At least Mary Jane does.
Yep.
But I'm like, Aunt May should know he's Spider-Man. That was a really good change from JMS, and I wish that they had not gone back on that.
See, I grew up with Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, and I loved that character,
yeah.
So I'm happy that he's back, hopefully for good, because he died last time that I remember in
right.
one run.
And then they brought him back as a bad guy in Dan Slott's run.
Brought him back as a bad guy that I did not like that turn.
Yeah.
So seeing him as a more heroic character, even though he's working for what is possibly a bad corporation.
They seem a little sinister. They do. Yeah, they do.
And they're, like, controlling every aspect of his life. But they are making him see a therapist, which is nice.
That's true. Immortal Hulk comes to a finale in a big 80-page issue that has a big reveal about the ancestry of the leader and the Hulk, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, very cool.
Does a lot of stuff in the sort of the their hell, the one who dwells below.
The green door.
Yeah, and all that stuff. And it's a good finale. It's a big team book. It's got more than one Hulk. It's got Gamma Flight. It's got some of the characters show up that you would recognize from Hulk history. It's a really good finale. I like this series. The main artist turns out to be kind of an anti-Semitic piece of shit. But the story itself is good, and Al Ewing is really good. Everybody else in the creative team is good. So I refuse to allow him to taint this whole thing for me.
And then I guess starting in a month or so, we're getting Donny Cates's
Donny Cates Hulk. And Mark Bagley. No.
It's
Ryan Ottley.
Yeah, Ryan Ottley.
Similar guys.
Sort of.
I think of them as similar.
Yeah, they're close. But I'm sure Donny Cates will do some bombastic kind of heavy metal approaches to Hulk that I think will go over pretty well with people.
There are a couple big Batman books this week. There is a one-shot for Batman the Audio Adventures, which is a anthology set in the sort of semi-comedic Gotham of this Batman the Audio Adventures. So this
I didn't know this existed.
So it's HBO Max has it. I don't even know if you can listen to it on podcast things, but HBO Max runs it as a podcast. There's no visuals to it, but the voice cast, Jeffrey Wright voices Batman. Jason Sudeikis voices Mayor Hill. I see Rosario Dawson as Catwoman. And then Paul Scheer is in it. Bobby Moynihan voices the Penguin. There's a bunch of, like, SNL, and it's written by an SNL guy.
Huh.
John Leguizamo is the Riddler. Ike Barinholtz is Two-Face. Alan Tudyk voices Alfred. Seth Meyers voices the Creeper.
Okay.
Like, there's a bunch of, like, very funny people. Oh, Chris Parnell is the narrator.
Okay.
So, this is a, like, Saturday Night Live version of Batman, which I wasn't sure about, but I read this issue, and it's a bunch of, like, it's mostly written by the main creator, Dennis McNicholas.
Okay.
And it has a framing sequence of Jack Ryder, the sort of gonzo journalist of Gotham City, who is also the Creeper.
Right.
Basically introducing these various things, and so there's a story about Batman, there's a story about Two-Face, there's a story about the Penguin, and there's a story of this villain they've created called King Scimitar.
So is this as zany as, like, the Harley Quinn animated series?
It's not quite as zany as that. It's a little more serious.
Okay.
But it's got a sort of bombastic fun to it. There's a running thing of a gang of, like, the... I forget what they're called. The Blind Mice Gang, which are gang who wear mouse heads.
Okay.
And they operate in groups of threes.
Sure,
and they show up in various places. There's some good art. There's a guy who does art very similar to sort of it's inked by Jay Bone. Anthony Marquez does it, so it reminds me of sort of Dave Bullock stuff.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's a fun little alternate take of Gotham. It's a little bit of a Brave and the Bold, classic Batman, with lens through sort of the animated series a little bit.
Okay.
So I think if you're an old-school Batman fan and someone who likes sort of a little bit offbeat, I would recommend it.
Let's see if I can't find the Audio Adventures itself,
I want to give it a shot. I can't.
Yeah.
I know it's on HBO Max, and I don't know if it also goes through, like, Spotify or any of those things.
I bet it does. There's got to be some way.
But, yeah, I'm curious to check it out, because it's been going us for about a month. And then on the other side of the Batman coin, we have Batman the Imposter, which I can't tell... I don't know if this is a one-shot or a limited series.
So is it Black Label?
It's a limited series. It's a Black Label limited series.
So usually like three issues.
So it is by Mattson Tomlin, who is a writer for Project Power, Netflix show, some other stuff.
Yeah, I remember
along with
that.
Andrea Sorrentino doing sort of that inky, horror-y artwork that he does.
Yeah.
About the early days of Batman, and there's a new Batman who's basically murdering criminals, and it seems like he might be a villain trying to ruin Batman's reputation.
Okay.
So it's like a more of a gritty Batman story. Very much the opposite of the Audio Adventures. So you can get whatever flavor of Batman you like this week.
I like it.
And then, Nick, there is there's a new Black Panther book this week?
Yeah, this one was interesting. It's called Marvel Legends Black Panther, and I honestly thought this was going to kind of reach out to sort of the Allegis crowd of what they do.
And it's sort of middle school reader, isn't
it? Yeah, it kind of does that, but also on the opening page it says that this is ideal for new fans and loyal readers alike. Marvel Legends will revisit and explore the key moments that make our hero. As our story unfolds, T'Challa's character will be revealed, and the Black Panther will emerge. I don't know this writer, Tochi... Oh, God, I'm not even going to try. Onibuchi?
So, the writer is from Outside of Comics.
Okay.
And I remember seeing that he was like... when did I see that he was a... I'm looking up his thing to see what else he did.
But yeah, and the artist is Paris Elaine, who's another person I don't know of. I really am fascinated with his art style. It's kind of very vivid and cartoon-like, but he gives the Wakanda skyline and kind of the world a really interesting flavor that feels like what it should be.
Okay, so the writer, Tochi Onibuchi, he's Nigerian.
Okay.
And he wrote a novel, a 2017 novel called Beast Made of Night, that basically has monsters inspired by folklore from Nigeria in the oligarchical city of Kos. It sounds like a fantasy novel.
Okay.
There's a teenager who's skilled at killing the monsters. That sounds really good, actually. I kind of wonder. It's a YA novel.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm kind of... Oh, okay. So he's from Massachusetts, not Nigeria.
Oh, okay.
But his heritage is Nigerian.
So this basically tells the story of young T'Challa growing up in Wakanda. He has a brother in this, which
that actually does track. He had is his brother white?
It is.
So that is the guy who became in Priest's run was the head of the secret police.
Oh, interesting.
He's the White Wolf.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So it is sort of taking from traditional Marvel history, and kind of updating a little bit because this is about Wakanda coming out to the U.S.
Okay.
And sort of him kind of... T'Challa's first kind of foray out of Wakanda into, like, the actual outside world. There's a lot of good conversations here with his mother and father. There is some action involved with his brother. I actually thought it was a really good first issue.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, think if you're a Black Panther fan, this is... I honestly think this is going to be up your alley. And
that's good.
For those
Black
who
Panther's
want, like,
been in the intergalactic empire for the longest time,
right?
Have it
and this sort of
Wakanda.
Grounds it a little bit, but it doesn't feel like, you know, a Ralph Macchio kind of retelling of an origin that feels dated or a little kiddified.
Too kiddified, yeah.
This feels like a Marvel comic. Anybody could pick this up and be entertained by it.
All right.
I thought it was a good first issue.
I also know there is a. Another chapter of that Darkhold series?
Yeah, this
Iron
is...
Iron Man this time?
Darkhold Iron Man, written by Ryan North.
Who did the Dinosaur Comics and Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yep. It is a very... Basically, a what-if-style tale of once Tony read the Darkhold, what the Darkhold kind of mirrors back to him.
Yeah.
It is a very messed up version of what you might expect of a Cthulhu-like entity trying to corrupt the Man of Iron is interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to all these one-shots. Good artwork by Guillermo Sana. But yeah, definitely messed up.
And then Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is back. Issue 9 was the first issue in, I don't know, years?
Year? No, it's been probably like multiple years.
Yeah,
like two or three at least. And they just pick up right where it left off.
Okay, sure.
Like nothing has gone wrong. They do say on the cover, sorry, I've been away for so long. Did you miss me?
Yeah.
Which is kind of cheeky and I like it.
I have this feeling between this and Riverdale Crossing Over that basically Aguirre Sagasa was not done.
No.
Netflix said they were done with Sabrina and he's like, no, I have lots more stories I want to tell.
But there are a couple things after reading this, I was reminded by, firstly, how much I love Robert Hack's artwork.
Yeah.
It is so damn good.
Yeah. Also, this is a 70s period piece, right? This is a different Sabrina.
This is a different Sabrina. Also, I was reminded of how dark this book is.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, people are getting killed, and, like, Sabrina's outright trying to kill people. It's definitely a different take than what the Netflix was. I like this take, though. It is really good. It makes me actually want to go back and pick up the collection, because I never did, because I never thought they would get back to it, honestly.
Right. Yeah.
Which I know the collection is in stock, and it's got a nice little hardcover.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is, for the art alone, is worth picking up. But yeah, I really enjoyed this issue number 9.
And then there was Wonder Woman Adventures Young Diana, which is a one-shot.
Yep, one-shot, just... What's Your Thing? It's written by Jordy Belair. Kind of artwork that feels like Steven Universe-like by Polina Ganchui?
Yep.
sure. But it deals with sort of like some mystical stuff. Kind of Greek pantheon. Her as a young kid on Themyscira. I didn't get to read all of it, but I thought it was a good portrayal, and if you're a Wonder Woman fan, what was that last book that they did that was, like, kind of the art style?
Oh, Legend of...
Yeah, Legend of Wonder Woman. Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of that, okay. And I really enjoyed that book, so I'm definitely going to finish reading this, but the art's gorgeous.
There's a lot of trades. Oh, you know what I missed? Star Trek Mirror War number 1 came out this week. I totally forgot to read it.
Exactly.
I need to make sure to read that. The Zero issue was really good, so...
There was also another first issue that I didn't get a chance to read, the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah. It's High Republic.
High Republic.
Trail of Shadows. And it pairs a Jedi with, like, a private detective, and they're investigating a mystery. So it's like a buddy cop Jedi thing.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't get a chance to read that one, but it looked cool.
While we're talking Star Wars, the War of the Bounty Hunters, the official series, wraps up.
Yep.
And that was a big finale thing. There's a bunch of trades and stuff this week. Noctera got its trade.
Yeah, Noctera got its first trade. It collects the first 6 issues. Image decided, or I guess I will say Scott Snyder decided, hopefully, that this is a $10 trade.
Yeah.
Okay. It is a great deal for... I actually think it's one of my favorite series from the past year. It's a really good horror, lots of great world building that he does. And I actually think Tony Daniel, who kind of hems and haws for me on, like, style of artwork, does a great job here. I think this kind of horror-tinged sci-fi world... kind of works with his aesthetics.
Okay.
In a way that... because it's also a road trip story. Because they're always on the run from kind of these demonic dark creatures. It's good.
There's also Marvel Meow, which is just a delightful little hardcover.
Yes, of all the Marvel characters having, like, pets.
And their cats.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it's silent, right?
Actually, I take that back. It's not different cats. It's the comic cat? Misadventures of Chewie, Captain Marvel's cat-like pet, Flurkin.
Oh, okay.
So it's Chewie going around the Marvel Universe interacting with the various heroes.
Okay.
Because I know you're going to hate it, but he runs afoul of Thorgy, Thor's dog, deals with the X-Men. his adventure with Hawkeye is very amusing. But yeah, no, it's just really cute, really fun, good artwork. If you want to laugh, it's worth
it. It's very adorable. It looks good. There's also, like, Avatar Smoke and Shadow Omnibus, the latest that one comes out. Dark Horse put a lot of stuff out this week. There's a Black Hammer Visions hardcover, there's a Young Hellboy hardcover, there's an Overwatch hardcover, Boom has the Magic the Gathering hardcover. And I feel like there's another big collection I'm forgetting. Oh, there's deluxe editions of Mooncakes and Sheets.
Yep.
Two of the sort of all-ages books that have been really successful. And, Hope Larson has a new book called Salt Magic.
Right. That looks...
She's done... This is set in World War I times. And there is a lady all dressed in white. Looks like there's a horse. There's a mysterious woman, so... It looks like a sort of a period piece. And Hope Larson's graphic novels are always really good.
Yeah, and they sell really well.
So that looks... I'm interested in that. Beyond that, other stuff with this week, Joker number 8, which I'm continuing to really enjoy the Joker series. The penultimate issue of Zdarsky's Justice League Last Ride. The second issue of Jeff Lemire's Maze book, which I really liked. The latest issue of Shang-Chi, which has him facing off against Iron Man. The third issue, we're halfway through Batman 89. A couple of Black Hammer books, Black Hammer Reborn number 4, Unbelievable Unteens number 3, and the final issue of Gamma Flight number 5, which wraps up just in time for Immortal Hulk to wrap as well.
Yeah.
What else, Nick?
So the finale of Superman and the Authority, yep. Grant Morrison and Michael Janin's 4-issue story, wraps up really well. Mm-hmm. I was very happy with it. also, a third issue of Kang the Conqueror. He runs afoul of Doom.
Yeah.
The second issue of Deadbox, which is the evil red box that spits out movies made only for you.
Right.
Fun concept. And also, we missed one number one, which is the World of Darkness Crimson Thaw, which it feeds into Vampire the Masquerade. This is Jim Zub and Tim Seeley telling the tale of the... I guess the werewolf side of things.
Yeah, so this is a 3-issue miniseries, yep. and they're bringing werewolves in.
But it is utilizing the characters from the Vampire Masquerade
right.
story.
Right.
It was a good first issue. I like this world in this form. I never got into the role-playing game.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting world to run around in, especially led by Jim Zub and Tim Seeley.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. It's good.
All right. I think that wraps it up for us this week. We'll be back next week or the week after with more. And until that time,
Yo Joe!
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.